Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm looking at Fox News right now. Consumer prices hover at a 30-year high. They just had a graphic, and they were showing how prices have increased with certain goods. And bacon's up 19.3%. And right in the little right-hand corner there, it says, soon White House addresses supply chain crisis. Now, I hope they are going to bring out the Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, because his latest performance on Morning Joe, where he talked about adopting, I think he has twins? Is it twin boys?
I know it's two children. I don't know if they're twins. I would assume so.
And congrats on that, but I don't think that's really what Americans wanted to hear. They more wanted to hear about, you know, where's all the stuff? Why are all the shelves empty? But he finally did answer some questions on it when he was on with Morning Joe. That's actually a bit of a stretch. He didn't answer questions. He explained that everything's very complicated and kind of admitted that he doesn't really know anything. And I'm shocked, because I would have thought all of his experience, when you really think about it, all of that time he spent on that one piece writing about how romantic airports are, would have helped us through this situation. I can't think of anyone better for the job off the top of my head than Pete Buttigieg. So I hope they bring him out. I don't want to hear Jen Psaki talk about this. No offense to Jen, she is not an expert on the supply chain like Mayor Pete. So we need Mayor Pete. And speaking of, he was asked during an interview about Christmas time. Now, it's kind of funny because Kamala Harris, when she was in Singapore, while all the Afghanistan stuff was unfolding, that's when she decided, you know, now's a good time for me to go to Singapore. And she probably was right. It was probably a good time to get out of town. She actually talked about Christmas presents and how, you know, it's going to be hard to get your Christmas presents. And I kind of was making fun of her because at the time there was such a big issue happening, historic, embarrassing withdrawal from Afghanistan, that she claimed to be the last person in the room when Joe Biden made that decision. And there she was talking about like Lego sets. So, you know, it didn't play that well optically. But now that we are getting closer to Christmas, and I know what you're thinking, come on, Grace, we're not even at Halloween yet. We're going to talk about Halloween too, don't worry. But Christmas is definitely the gift holiday. I mean, if you're getting gifts on Halloween or on Thanksgiving, you are a spoiled brat. There are some kids who got gifts, but no kids I wanted to hang around with. But Christmas is coming up, and so a reporter asked Mayor Pete about if people are going to be able to get presents, and he, again, really showed off his expertise on the subject and why he was chosen for this very important job, and why he's crushing it with this response. Cut 16.
Well, I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers. There's the ones who have all their list completed by Halloween, and then there's people like me who show up at the mall on Christmas Eve. If you're in that latter bucket, obviously there's going to be more challenges.
Oh my God, he's just like us.
Wait, I honestly, Jared, I think I could have been Secretary of Transportation.
You've been on the T? Yeah.
I've probably been on public transportation more than Mayor Pete. I used to take the RIPTA when I was at Providence College. I would go to the mall and then I would go back and then I'd go to work and I would go back. And it was a bumpy road, but I would take it like three times a week. Why can't I have that job? And I, too, noticed that some people get their Christmas gifts way in advance, and some people wait to the last minute. What does he know that I don't know? And really, when you think about it, after hearing Walsh Marty talk about the jobs yesterday, why people aren't going back to work, he was like, you know, I think it's just, I don't have any proof of this, and I don't have anything that really, like, backs this up, but I think it's work-life balance. I think that's what it comes down to, really, work-life balance. And the reporter was like, but they're not working, so what's the balance? Well, that's the question.
That is the question.
The question I'm posing for people is, who do you think out of those two has less experience in their current jobs? Walsh or Pete? Pete looks like a deer in the headlights when he gets asked any questions besides, you know, about his personal life. He's very comfortable talking about how wonderful he is. But when he gets asked about the supply chain crisis, don't go there. Walsh, he's just winging it. It's really amazing, the people that are making up this administration. It's pretty pathetic. But if you're worried about Christmas, I think Mayor Pete just answered your question. You can either get them in advance or you can wait to the last minute. And we still have a supply chain crisis. So that's that. We will actually go to that, though, if it happens in the near future. Now, something I wanted to talk about here is some great sound that popped across my Twitter today. It's a student in Fulton County. She does not give her name. She mentions that she's been part of the honors program at her school. And she describes what it's like wearing a mask. And the reason I wanted to play this is because it's dawned on me that for a lot of us, especially, like, okay, for example, Jared and I, we've been out of this pandemic mentally for a very long time. We kept coming into work. We never had to wear masks in our workplace. You know, I'm sure Jared, I know you always mention your fast food bags during the Eden Pier spot. So I'm sure you're a drive-thru guy. So you don't have to put your mask on really in the drive-thru unless you're at a really strict drive-thru. But for the most part, our lives have been going on like normal. I've met with friends. None of my friends are that COVID crazy. I've had family gatherings. The people who have really taken the brunt of these mandates and guidelines and restrictions and Dr. Fauci diktats are kids. I would add in first responders, because they've had to really be at the front of this and wear masks and follow all these rules, grocery store workers, people who aren't part of the pajama class, as you might call them. Now, the kids especially are kind of the last hold that the Democrats have of this power, and they're wielding it. And what I noticed, and there was a boy who talked a few months ago. He was like this little kid. He read a speech and he talked about how the teachers yell at them, and the way he described the teachers enforcing these mask rules reminded me of when I'm on a plane. That's the only real time that I get this sense that these people have such disdain for me, and they're really treating me like an inmate or something. You know, they're just yelling at me. The way this girl describes how the teachers are yelling at these kids makes you realize that, yeah, the world, a lot of us have moved on. But there's a group that is being bullied and that is being used so that the Democrats and these liberals and these teachers' unions can keep hold of this power. Let's listen. This is a Fulton County student, Cut 12.
One teacher greets students to class by saying, "Check your face." One student says back, "My face is beautiful." The teacher responds, "I don't want to see it." A teacher sends a student to isolated lunch for the mask being below her nose. Athletes pull their masks down to drink water in the back of the class. The teacher tells them to wait to drink your water at home. A substitute teacher just last week threatened to write up my friend because his mask was below his nose. She recruited other students to help monitor masks while in class. My brother got kicked out of science lab because his mask was below his nose. We hear daily constant yelling by hall staff at students about the masks, yet we see them with theirs below their noses and chins. My friend is threatened in class by another student about her mask, and that student takes it upon herself to touch my friend's mask and lift it above her nose. Don't get me wrong, I love my school and teachers, but the environment created from the mask mandate is not welcoming or conducive to learning. I recall years in Fulton County schools promoting anti-bullying campaigns, yet your very own hired staff bully us daily about how we wear our masks. We're in school to get an education, not to be harassed about a mask by the very teachers and mentors we look up to.
Yeah, and the reason I think that that remark is telling is that she's really commenting on the nastiness. And that's something that a lot of us have witnessed, whether or not you're a kid or not. I mean, I just mentioned the airplanes. There's a lot of nastiness there. Sometimes you're at a grocery store, and for the most part, the people working at the grocery stores I've run into are lovely. But you do get the occasional person on a power trip who's nasty, you know, or and that's the part of it that I think makes this all so depressing, is that how much some people love it, how much some teachers love to yell at the kids, you know, and they're you can tell that there's something else broken inside of them. If you were a happy person and a kid had their mask below their nose, and I don't go for that. Well, they have to. They have no choice. They're just following orders. That's the school rule. You got to follow the, you got to enforce the school rule. Come on. I've been in stores before where it's the rule and no one's really coming up and checking if it's near your nose. If someone's coming up and saying, I don't want to see your face, check your face, that person's enjoying this a wee bit too much. They're letting out their anger about something else onto these kids. It's, there's no way you care that much about someone's nostrils getting a little breath of fresh air every once in a while. Let's play cut 13.
What happened to the promised weekly Wednesday mask update we the students looked forward to? On social media, the update would tell us if we would be mask optional the upcoming week. These updates stopped after the second week of school. We were clearly told the mask mandate would be temporary. Week 9, and masks are still mandated. You see, no one in our school wants to wear a mask, not even most of your staff and teachers, let alone be forced to. We have all attended or watched the past 8 weeks of packed college and high school football stadiums and socialized with our friends all without a mask. Have you seen an outbreak? The answer is no.
Yeah, well, now she's mentioning the science. So to that I say, someone call AG Garlic Marind, or Maryland Garlic, Garland Merrick.
Garland Merrick.
Whatever Claire McCaskill wants to call him, someone get that guy to that school and bring with you the FBI, because this girl needs to be interrogated. She's a danger to society. Now she's citing the science. How dare you? How dare you? Let's play cut 14.
Milton High School, 0 cases. Cambridge, 0. Roswell, 2. Alpharetta, 1. Johns Creek, 3. 29 total cases in all 19 of your high schools. One cannot draw the conclusion that the mask mandate is working because my friends who live in neighboring counties, Cobb and Forsyth, where it has been mask optional, are seeing the same downward trends. Cobb is reporting a 44% drop, Forsyth a 23% daily drop, only 57 cases. You see, we the students are not super spreaders. With this glaring data, why have you not lifted the mask mandate and put a stop to your hired staff from bullying the students? What happened to the public school focus on promoting student excellence, teaching us to be the best in whatever we want to be in life? Isn't that what America is about?
Yeah, and you know what? I think that a lot of these schools at this point are doing it to appease the woke nut jobs in their little, you know, communities. And it's not about the numbers. It's not about following the science. I hate that expression to begin with, because the science is whatever liberals agree with that day. You know, the science is, oh, I would never take that vaccine if Trump's responsible. And then the next day, the science is, how can you not take the vaccine, you grandma killer? So the science evolves based off their opinions and their rantings and ravings. But this girl's absolutely right. I mean, I love how she broke down the numbers, too. It's so basic. When the kids are starting to realize that they're being ruled by a bunch of frauds, that's when this thing's really going to crumble. I thought the whole student body was going to break out into, let's go, Brandon. How does our economy determine the value of an item? The price of the world's most valuable commodities are all set at auction. Items such as fine arts, antiques, coins, and classic cars are often priced through auction. The fish you just ate, the textiles that make up the clothes on your back, and the diamond on your finger, all of those items were originally priced through auction. So when it comes time to sell the most valuable commodity you own, your real estate, why not sell it at auction with JJ Manning? Their clients are intelligent decision makers who set the terms and sell their real estate quickly and contingency free in a competitive auction. There is no stigma and no distress in this process. Recent Howie and Grace listeners have seen upwards of 30 qualified bidders competing for their real estate. When you sell real estate traditionally, you have to pay the broker commission. But in a JJ Manning auction, the buyer pays. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
We see this school year is a promotion by the Fulton County Schools of fear, shame, and obedience. As this is my last year, I ask that you rethink about the true data in our schools and the magnitude of the mental damage your policies are imposing on not only my generation, but future generations. I ask that you please give us the freedom to choose to wear a mask or not, and please put a stop to the bullying.
Yeah, I hope none of those school board officials felt intimidated by that young student, because she might get the FBI knocking at her door anytime soon. Maybe the IRS can check into any of her transactions over $600. Very good job to that student, though, for speaking out. Lisa, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Grace. I am just sick to my stomach when I hear that young person talking. You know, I'm old enough that there are fewer years ahead of me than there are behind. I'm concerned that there's a whole generation that this has moved past the pandemic, and the government is actually using it as a way to dehumanize and demoralize them and ultimately condition to them to not being able to speak their opinion and stand their ground against the state. It's just really just disturbing to hear that. And another side note is, you know, I believe that the virus exists. I chose to be vaccinated myself, but the man.
Ooh, the FBI just cut Lisa off. She was making too much sense. No, Lisa, we appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. Sorry we lost connection there. But, you know, Lisa brings up something that a lot of people have been talking about, which is this silencing and censoring of voices that you don't agree with is not right. And this conversation in particular has really picked up steam after the attorney general decided that he was going to sic the FBI on parents who disagree. Now, a Chinese American parent from Loudoun County, and that's the county we were talking about yesterday with Luke Rosiak from the Daily Wire, brought this exact point up. Let's take a listen. Cut 29.
When I was in China, I spent my entire school years in the Chinese Cultural Revolution. So I'm very, very familiar with the communist tactics of how they divide people, how they cancel the Chinese traditional culture and destroy our heritage. And all this is happening here in America. Now they are labeling parents and concerned citizens like me as domestic terrorists. What that can do? You may lose your freedom. I do have a question. What's next step? Is the Tiananmen Square crackdown the next? Would parents one day risk their life just to speak out for their children? That's why I'm here.
And before you say, oh, she's exaggerating, Grace, that's, you know, she's overblowing it. Listen to Eddie Gloud from MSNBC talking about these folks who threaten our democracy. Cut 10.
There are Americans who are willing to threaten folks, who are risking their lives every day to keep our children safe, who are risking their lives every day to make sure that this republic remains a republic. And we have to respond to this crisis in kind. We have to respond to these folks, not by saying that they're just simply marginal voices, but to respond to them as the threats that they represent to our democracy, it seems to me.
I would like to respond to that. He says these people who are risking their lives for our children. Is he talking about the school board people? Because speaking of Loudoun County, I'd like to quote one of the fathers who got up to the podium and said, "My flipping trashmen risk their lives more than you guys do." I think that's absolutely 1,000% correct. We will be back with more. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Quick reminder, programming note here. We will have Toby Leary at 2 o'clock for 2A Tuesdays. He wasn't able to do 2A Tuesdays yesterday, but he's ready to go today. So make sure you think of your questions for the 2 o'clock hour. Okay, now before I move on to a little bit of Jen Psaki sound, which is all over the place, but we're going to break it down, and I have a lot to say, as always, but let's first go to the calls. Barbara, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hey there, Grace. How are you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, listening to some of these politicians and these bullies that bully children about masks, it just chills me to the bone to see what's coming into our country and how it can all fall apart quicker than anybody ever thought. My husband, he coaches cross country and track and field up here at the high school. We're up in New Hampshire. And the funny thing is, it's not consistent. They don't let the kids don't have to wear masks at school, at high school. But the minute they get on the bus, they all have to mask up, including my husband. And the bus driver is like a Nazi. You just cannot believe this guy. If they slip the mask down, he's yelling at them and everything on the bus. It's absolutely horrible. But they're not respecting the science. And that girl was so well spoken. I remember when I took microbiology, we learned about natural acquired immunity, and it's the best immunity there is. And so many of these teachers, I don't think they know anything about science. They're just following the directives, I guess, of their teachers' unions.
Yeah, and you do get this sense, and my dad pointed this out to me at the very beginning of this pandemic. A lot of these people who are in charge, they've never had this kind of power before, and it's gone right to their heads. And you're absolutely right, Barbara. It's the nastiness. It's the bullying. And it's the same people who claim that they care so much about your health. That's why they're yelling at you. That's why they're mocking you and making you feel bad. And another story that kind of makes me think of that, and I saw this today in the Post, and I couldn't believe this was actually happening, but people are putting up Halloween decorations. And usually, you know, I was actually just walking the other day with Will. We're walking around Milton, and I see a house, and it's got all these inflatable Halloween decorations. And I said, as much as, because I'm a minimalist and I see that and I think, you know, it's crap all over the lawn. But I said, as much as that goes against the aesthetic I like, which is just no junk, I appreciate the fact that those people wanted so much that they wanted the kids to enjoy it. It was all for the kids. So when the kids come up trick-or-treating, they see the inflatable balloons or the inflatable characters, and it makes them happy. And I thought, you know, that's really nice. Even if it's not, you know, something I want on my lawn, I appreciate the fact that they're doing that. So Halloween decorations are always supposed to be kind of fun, spooky. Listen to this. People are putting out skeletons, which I've seen before. I walked by a house the other day, and they had a skeleton on a massage table and another skeleton giving the other skeleton a massage. Bit strange. I thought that one was a little bit, that was a little on the edge. But people are putting out skeletons with signs across their necks that say, "I didn't get vaccinated. Hashtag Darwin wins again." And there's other signs that say, "I did my own research. I didn't get vaccinated." And then there's one where it's a skull head. It's a skull, and it says, "I trusted ivermectin more than science. 1969 to 2021. These people are so ghoulish. It's just, to me, it just, there's no class. But at the same time, between every other breath, they're telling us how much they care more and they're more virtuous and we're the selfish ones. This is how you treat people? This is what you think is funny? I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, and I think it was maybe Jesse Kelly who tweeted this. But basically, you know, it's okay to be afraid of the virus. That's okay. But you can't let that fear turn you into a demon or a monster the way you act to other people. You just can't let it do that.
But why is it okay to be afraid of the virus, but it's not okay to be afraid of the vaccine? I'm not afraid of the vaccine, but I have no problem with people who are.
Oh, no. I mean, it's just that was kind of what he said, talking about the virus. It's like, it's okay if you're afraid of the virus, but you can't go after people who aren't as monsters because they don't share. Like, you can't let it turn you into this demon or this ghoul, like you said.
Yeah, it's like you can be afraid of going on a roller coaster, but if right. I go on it, you shouldn't say, hiss, boo.
Yeah,
well,
I hope you fall out of that roller coaster because yeah. the strap breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
They really have become sick and twisted. Yep. And it's all, you know, mutations of Trump derangement syndrome. Don't believe anything else that you read. It's all variations of the same original virus, which is Trump derangement syndrome. I wanted to play a couple of sound cuts here from Jen Psaki and hit the stories as we play the sound cuts. The first one I want to play is an honest admission from Psaki. I don't think people are going to take it the way she intended it, but this is cut four.
The president wants to make fundamental change in our economy, and he feels coming out of the pandemic is exactly the time to do that. And if we don't do it now, if we don't address the cost of childcare, to go back to Josh's question earlier, if we don't address the climate crisis, if we don't ensure that universal pre-K is a reality now, we're not going to have the same opportunity to do it for some time.
He wants to make fundamental changes to the economy. Well, mission accomplished, because the feds are warning that inflation surge will not be brief amid wild consumer price spikes. I just told you guys in the last segment that bacon's up like 19.3%. A lot of people haven't seen inflation like this in quite some time. So he is fundamentally changing the economy.
Yeah, let me translate that for you. Great Reset, Green New Deal.
Yeah.
That is what he's pushing.
Well, we're going to get into that in 1 second. But before we go to that, I do want to play another Jen Psaki cut here, and it's something I referenced earlier. She was very upset with Governor Greg Abbott and Governor Ron DeSantis for protecting their constituents' freedom and banning. Abbott has banned vaccine mandates. DeSantis in the past has banned mask mandates. And so banning politicians and leaders from telling their constituents what to do, you know, giving their constituents the option of having freedom of choice, which I always thought Democrats were big fans of, freedom of choice, that to Jen Psaki is unacceptable. They're putting politics over public health, according to the leader of the Ministry of Truth. And then she said something else that people are refuting. Cut eight.
Well, we know that federal law overrides state law. I would note that earlier when we put out our guidance on the president's announcement about mandates several weeks ago, it made clear that, again, as I said earlier, requirements are promulgated pursuant to federal law and supersede any contrary state or local law or ordinance. Additionally, nothing in this guidance excuses noncompliance with any applicable state law or municipal ordinance.
Now, hold on. Is it that federal law supersedes state law, or is it that federal guidance supersedes state law? Because according to my research, there is not federal law. So it doesn't matter what supersedes what if one doesn't exist. Ipso facto. Look at me. I'm the smartest girl in the room. Watch out, Hunter Biden. But it's true. She keeps saying federal law supersedes state law, but you don't have a federal law. And this is what the Federalist wrote. She also claimed that Biden's order is federal law that supersedes any order by a state government. As the Federalist Joy Pullman previously noted, Biden's so-called vaccine mandate doesn't exist, at least not yet. There is no executive order. There's nothing but press statements, Pullman wrote last week. Despite what you may have been falsely led to believe by the media fantasy projection machine, press statements have exactly zero legal authority. They have about as much legal authority as Jen Psaki. Just because you say something, just because you put something out into the world, this isn't like a, what do they call that, where where you put things on your fantasy board or your vision board and they come true. You put it out into the universe. That's not how federal law is created. You can't just wish something and then say, ha, Greg Abbott, we're superseding your law. Yeah, but you don't have a law. Psaki later acknowledged that an official enforceable rule from the Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration is not here, but promised that it's coming, I'm sure. Just like that conversation between Joe Biden and the president of Afghanistan that we're still waiting on, just like the White House cat, just like so many other things that are coming down. I'm sure we'll see that very soon, but I won't hold my breath. She said she could offer no expectation of when that will be finalized. Maybe we'll get that the same time we get that investigation into the Border Patrol agents who whipped those Haitian migrants. Again, not holding my breath because I don't have a death wish, but I'm expecting all this stuff to come down at once, maybe on a Friday afternoon in the summer. I would say that requiring and mandating for businesses of 100 people or over vaccines is not a small task, that it is a big, bold proposal idea. Big, bold, build back, better proposal idea, and something we want to implement with as much clarity as we can. Now, that's just something I wanted to add in here. But to go back to what Jared was saying about the Green New Deal, because there's a really good piece, and I know, it's my favorite place to read from. You guys know where it's from, the New York Post. What can I say? I'm with Michael Goodwin. I think they deserve a Pulitzer. But they have a piece about the big reconciliation bill. And now yesterday, Nancy Pelosi was angry with the press, as she always is. She kind of has like two moods, angry and confused. And yesterday she chose angry. And this is what she said to them about her big bill.
Do you think you need to do a better job at messaging and going forward? How do you sell this if ultimately you have to?
Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you, because every time I come here, I go through the list. Family and medical leave, climate, the issues that are in there.
Now, Jim Banks, he's an Indiana Republican, and he brought up something that I hadn't thought of yet. But I knew I was frustrated with Republicans, with the GOP, for a number of reasons. I just feel like they never do anything. They just grandstand. You know, Ted Cruz has like viral moments with Mark Zuckerberg and tweets at AOC. That don't, to quote Shania Twain, that don't impress me much, Ted Cruz. But oftentimes I'm like, yeah, I'm annoyed with them, but I also don't know what I want them to do. But Jim Banks sets it up and he says, why aren't we explaining to people, kind of the opposite of what Pelosi said. Pelosi says to the press, you're not explaining to people how great this plan is. Jim Banks is saying to Republicans, we're not explaining well enough to people how much this thing sucks. People should be able to look at these bullet points and know exactly why we all should hate this bill. And to his credit, he references that sometimes when we pass things, they initially have a certain amount of approval. And then after they get passed, people realize what's in it and they have a lower approval. For example, I'll read this right here. He says, here's what happens to public opinion when the public learns what's in these Democrat bills. In March, before Democrats' $1.9 trillion package passed, 70% of Americans said they favored it. Polled again in August, 5 months after the bill was enacted, only 35% of Americans said the bill was helping improve the economy. So why aren't we explaining? And now I'm taking what Jim said. I'm taking the ball and running here. But why aren't they explaining that more? Why aren't they running ads? Why aren't they out there all the time talking about it? I know that we don't like to set our hair on fire like the left does. We don't like to yell the sky is falling. But come on, you know, have a little passion. I'm not saying you got to sit in front of the Capitol with a bullhorn like AOC or Cori Bush, but you could at the very least come up with an easy way for Republicans to understand. Republicans want to have the bullet points. They want to be able to go to the barbecue. They want to be able to tell their kids at the dinner table, this is what they're trying to push. Republicans, unlike Democrats, actually like specifics. They like to be armed with information. And what Jim Banks does in this story is he pushes out, you know, small bullet points, bite-sized bullet points about what is in this, and I'm going to read them when we come back. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, was on a podcast, and he, I guess, with Howard Stern, and he said he thought the Beatles were better than the Rolling Stones. First of all, he has a little bit of skin in that game. You know, he could be a little bit biased. But it did bring up our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Nauset Disposal, affordable rubbish and recycling from Duxbury to Provincetown. Go to NausetDisposal.com. That's NausetDisposal.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's better, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
I'm going to say the Rolling Stones. I don't even think it's a question. I base music off of, especially that kind of music, what's going to get me up and dancing, what's going to get me tapping my toes, and that would be the Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones polling at 36%.
Wow,
the
really?
Beatles running away with it, 64%.
Oh my gosh. With all due respect, you guys have no taste. I'm just kidding. It's fine. We can agree to disagree. It's a wonderful part about the Grace Curley Show. All right, and maybe someone can change my mind. Like the mailroom manager always says to me, you know, you just haven't listened to the right Beatles songs. Okay, well, send them to me. My email is always available. All right, now let's get to the bullet points of this reconciliation bill that Republican Jim Banks is laying out for voters so they understand what a catastrophe this is. $8 billion expected to be used towards commissioning a civilian climate corps that would establish a cabal of federally funded climate police to conduct progressive activism on taxpayers' dimes, and a $10 billion environmental justice higher education slush fund to indoctrinate college students and advance Green New Deal policies. He also argued that language requiring pre-K staff to have a college degree would hurt small and in-home daycares, saying it pushes faith-based child care providers out of the sector. He says that the Democrat-led measures are providing incentives for illegal immigration, including an enhanced child tax credit, the eligibility for student aid, and free college entitlement. Banks also took issue with the bill's healthcare provisions, arguing it expands the worst parts of Obamacare. Obamacare's job-killing employer mandate will become more severe by adjusting the definition of affordable coverage to mean coverage that costs no more than 8.5% of income, rather than current law's 9.5% of income. The chief reason that it keeps polling favorably is because we haven't done a good job letting people know what's in it, he said. And this is true. The memo went on to allege it pushes Democrats' wasteful and confusing school lunch agenda, $643 million for, among other things, procuring culturally appropriate foods, in addition to providing a tax credit for wealthy donors who give to woke universities. The bill creates a new tax credit program that gives tax credits worth 40% of cash contribution that are made to university research programs. The massive bill, he further accused the Democrats of providing a legislative hull for Biden's vaccine mandate, and it's empowering labor unions by preventing employers from permanently replacing striking workers. There's a lot to unpack here, but it's time we open the suitcase and start unpacking. It's important people know how bad this is. All right, get on the lines for 2A Tuesday. We're getting right to the calls next.